Basically, in what I've shared with you, a lot of it is obviously very experiential. So it's my experiences, and a lot of my experiences are how God relates to me. And it will be different for everybody because God relates to us in the way in which we can understand. And then he takes us into realms which expand our understanding. So we actually then begin to focus on that. So what I want to do now, really, having given you a whole load of experience, I want to just teach you basic principles of how you can start engaging in this stuff. Now, some of you may, this is really simple stuff. Personally, I felt I've been a Christian for about 44 years, I think, which is a long time. Up until the last 2 years, I think most of it has just been the milk of the word and the stuff. And now I feel like I'm an infant or a toddler in this stuff. You know, and it's like, you think, wow, all these experiences. Actually, that's what I feel like. I'm just an infant and I'm just learning. But I know that if I can learn from my background and my way of thinking and where I was, anybody can learn. Because it is a learned experience. We have to learn how to actually do it. So when it comes to things, you know, a lot of these things are called mystical or ecstatic experiences. Now, I want to demystify it. Because actually, that will attract some people and will put off a whole lot of other people. Because it will sound very new agey and very much, oh, you can't have anything to do with that. You know, we need to reclaim the ground that new age people have taken. Because they're only counterfeiting what is real. You know, they cannot create, Satan cannot create anything. He uses what God has created for his own purposes. And then he tries to stop the church engaging in it. So I want to demystify the encounters. We can learn to experience all those things. We just have to position ourselves in a place to encounter. Then we have to prepare ourselves to be able to encounter in a more clear, easy way. And you have to learn to do it. And the rest of it is just practice. The more you practice, the easier it gets. Because what you do is you then have a record that's stored within your brain, in your heart as well, which then can engage. Most of the time, we've not learned to store it, so we've not had a protocol to follow through it. So we can, by practice, we can learn. But if you've got a desire, it will take discipline. We live in a very instant age. Microwave food, turn on a button and you get light, TV, everything. Everything's instant. Internet, now we can connect with people over the world. And it's love. I love all that stuff. I'm very geeky and very technical in stuff. I love stuff. No problem. But the reality is, you don't get encounters and in heaven by just fluke. You know, yes, God can give you some stuff to encourage you, but if you're going to do it by your will, if you like, because God wants us to engage there, not just when he takes us. Sometimes we're in worship at times and it's great worship and everything, and we get encounters because there's a corporate sense of God's presence because we've all filled the atmosphere with our spirit in a sense. And it's easier in them, and we have visions and stuff, and we have shared spiritual gifts. Great, really good stuff. But actually, we need to be able to do it on our own, wherever we are, anytime, any place, anywhere, because that is where we've got to bring the kingdom, where we are. We can't wait until Sunday for the worship time to be able to encounter heaven again. We have to be able to encounter it now. So we've got to learn, and it takes discipline before we get to the delight. The flesh does not like discipline. How many people like getting up early? Not many. Now, for me, I've disciplined my flesh to do what it's told. So if I tell it it's going to get up, it will get up. Because my spirit wants to engage God. So my desire becomes greater than the discipline I need. So I do it because I want it. So we need to pursue a lot of things through engagement, through meditation. Meditation is where the eyes of our heart are open. So the Word of God can become a doorway to experiencing God. See, the Word of God is there to point us to relationship with God. It's not God. Yes, I know Jesus is the Word, but it's not God. It's a story that enables us to engage God. the engagement. I mean, Jesus said, if I were to put, you know, everything I did in books, it would fill every library of the whole world. You know, so there's so much more than you can just find in the written word of God. But actually, you need the written word of God as the plumb line to measure your experiences against. So we don't go off into wild and wacky things. Even though they might sound really wild and wacky, actually, if they line up with the character of God and with the heart and the will and purpose of God, then you know that's how you measure it. There's loads of things in there which you won't specifically find in the Word of God. Well, actually, neither are computers or projectors or anything else, but we have to use them. They're not in the Word of God, well, you can't use them. Well, actually, some religious people take that to that extreme. You can't have anything modern, you know. But in reality, we need to engage and understand. So we have to activate our God-given imagination, the eyes of our heart. Paul prayed in Ephesians 2 about the eyes of our heart. You know, in Ephesians 1, about the eyes of our heart. And so therefore we need to activate that so that we operate with it and then go further than that. So we need to learn to see God as he projects images, visions, feelings, thoughts, and impressions. Now, it doesn't really matter which one you get, so long as you get something. You know, sometimes it's like, well, I can't see. Well, do you feel? Oh, yeah. It's like, well, I feel, and you see, and other people hear. It doesn't really matter, bottom line, as long as you get the gist and the point of what God is trying to say to you and communicate. Because it's relationship. He wants you to know his heart. Now, whether you get that in that you walk up to him and he speaks to you and he speaks to you face to face and tells you something, or you get an impression of what he wants you to know, it really doesn't matter. So don't get caught up in the mechanics, because we can put pressure on ourselves and strive for encounters that other people might have that God may not want to speak to us that way at this point in time. So it's okay to learn. The main thing is to actually just know what God wants you to know. So we may have a first person thing where we're this there and we're walking around and we see it with our eyes and everything else. It may be third person. We see a vision of us doing things, you know, that we see, we hear, we taste and touch in that. It's great. But actually, you know, as we develop our spiritual senses, we have to tune into the flow of revelation that comes. You know, and therefore we need to actually learn to see from the inside out, not the outside in. And that's the biggest thing. Everything we've learned is from the outside in. Because that's how we learn everything. We saw it, we smelt it, we felt it, and then we interpreted it, and now we understand. You know, when a baby first sees something, he doesn't understand anything. He can only see 10 inches, which is enough to see its mother's face. And that's what baby first sees. Then it learns, awareness of distance and space as a baby grows. So we need to do the same things in the realm of the spirit. If you struggle with your imagination, use a physical image. When it comes to, well, I'm opening up the door of first love. If you struggle to see a door, go and get a door and walk in and out of it. If you're struggling to, well, how do I step into the heavenly realm? Well, practice. Get in a doorway. Right, I'm stepping over the threshold into the realm of heaven. I'm stepping back into this realm. You get into your car every day if you drive. Open the door. Right. I'm stepping into the realm of heaven. I'm going to be seated on the throne on the mountain of authority of my life. And you're sat in your car, but you're now on a throne in heaven because you're practicing stepping in and stepping out. Just get something. You know, if you're struggling with all those things, go and get a picture. The internet is great for pictures of stuff. So I use it all the time to just grab images because I think, right, okay, that's what I sort of see. Yeah, this is an image that will help me. And if, you know, personally, I don't struggle very much with that sort of stuff. So I just seem to see things and that's it. So my imagination isn't really an issue for me. But I know a lot of people it is. You know, I have struggles in other areas. But this one, it's like find physical things if you need a picture as a doorway into something. Just like if you want to see about the throne of God, read Revelation 4 and 5. You know, or Ezekiel 1 and 11. Because they're all talking about the throne of God. You know, different versions of it, different things, mobile throne, different throne, whatever. But do it. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have trained their senses to discern good and evil. So our senses can be trained to see and to discern. and to connect. But the key word is there, practice. So it's going to take quite a lot of effort to be able to get this so it becomes second nature. So for instance, when you first learn to drive, your instructor will remind you of all the things you need to think about when you're driving. Look in the mirror, be aware of the rest of the road, think gears, what gear should you be in, making sure you got your hands at 2 to 10 to 2 and all that stuff. He'll keep drumming it into you and drumming it into you, doing your 3-point turn, doing all the stuff you need to do. When you pass your test, you go out and you do it. Now, if anyone's been driving, you know, more than a few months, you don't even think about anything. You just get in the car, automatically turn it on and drive. Now, of course, you still got to be aware of the road and all that stuff, but you're not consciously thinking anymore. It is now second nature. As we practice these exercises of engagement, they become second nature. And then you don't have to go through all the protocol. You just follow the pathway. So for me, it would take me an hour to open all the gates of my life and to go through them and whatever. Now I do it in 20 seconds because it's just a pathway of engagement that I absolutely know 100% exactly what it means, and I just do it. When I'm stepping into the heavenly realms in different places, you know, it would take me 3/4 of an hour to present myself as a living sacrifice, engaging in a different area and whatever else. Now, minutes. Now, unless God apprehends me and wants to deal with something, then it can take hours. You know, because sometimes he does. I don't get any further than one place because, right, okay, you need to deal with this. You know, because you can't present yourself as a living sacrifice and not expect God to take you at your word. So quite often, it's like, okay, I'm presenting myself here. I've got to deal with that. But now I've got the protocol to deal with it, because I can engage the court system of heaven, the judicial system, to be able to deal with the things that before I didn't know how to deal with. You know, I can now rule from the throne in authority to deal with those things. Okay? So you learn. And as you learn, engagement becomes easier. You know? Now, Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. If we want spiritual blessings, which is the empowerment of that spiritual realm, you have to go into the heavenly realms. This is where they are. We're trying to always pull things down here when we're being supposed to go there. And it doesn't really work very effectively trying to do it from here, because you've got a whole atmosphere that's between here and there, which is looking to try and stop us engaging that way, but can't stop us engaging the other way, bringing it down. So it's all in the heavenly realms. Again, Ephesians 2:6, God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. Well, we all know that scripture, and it's like we just haven't really experienced it much. But the reality is we're supposed to experience it in the heavenly realms because we're supposed to be seated there. Most of us have just taken it theoretically because we've never encountered the experience. So it just becomes, oh, well, I know that's positionally where I am. Well, that's a pile of old hogwash. It's just an excuse of saying, well, I'm not actually really there. You know, actually, I can be really there, but I've got to go there to be there. And these things, for me, I now read scripture completely differently. Virtually everything I now read, I see it from a different perspective. I see it from a heavenly one. So it's just open. The book of Hebrews, I hated the book of Hebrews, it was boring. I love it now because it describes where I can access and come through the veil. I can come to this place and that place. Now it's like I've been there and experienced it. Now it's a living book. There's a few good scriptures in there, you know, before, but actually the thing itself, you know, that covenant testimonies and you know, and it's just like all that stuff. It seemed to just relate to the Old Testament. Because I was reading it from an Old Testament perspective, not realizing it's a New Testament perspective, and Jesus has gone ahead of me, opened up a door, and now becomes a veil that I can access. Which is what it actually says. I never read it like that. I just read it as just referring to something they used to do. You know, and I'm not interested in that. Because it was like, ugh. Because I went through all the tabernacle stuff in the Brethren thing, and it was just like boring. You know, now it's really useful. Because now I understand all that stuff I learned. Now I go there and do it, which is great. You know. So encounters must bring revelation and transformation from relationship. It's not just an experience for no reason and all just fun. It is fun, but actually with maturity comes responsibility, and with responsibility comes the authority to administer. So we're supposed to be maturing into a place of authority that eventually we will be sons who will rule. So it's a lot of stuff there. So you may see visions, pictures, hear sounds, words, know thoughts, feel instinctively, all great. A lot of things are received by impressions. You just know. You get the impression of what God is saying to you. It's all really valid. You can learn to flow in all those things. So if you're good at one area, that's great. Just start to practice another area. You know, just practice so that you get a flow of all of them. Now, when you go into the realm of heaven, you need to come back out of it with stuff. Now, ultimately, God desires us to live in both places at once, because that's how Jesus did it, in the dual realms. But often we start off with getting visions, then we'll get some visitations, and eventually we can have a habitation. We live there and we can engage in both places at once. But when we're going in and learning, every time we go in, we need to bring that revelation with us from that realm. So what is the point of me going there today? God, show me something. That encounter in the heavenly realm should bring restoration of our destiny and purpose. Because that's the desire of God, that we fulfill our eternal destiny. So when we go there, we should come back with something that stirs me to my destiny. A renewal of the heart. It's like God would want to renew our heart. That's the best place. So many of us try and be clean so that we can go. No, we go to be clean. That's where we get clean. And the enemy gets us into legalism. Well, you've got to be a certain this, you've got to have a certain standard, you've got to be this or good at this to be able to go. Nonsense. We go to get clean. Because I'll show you later on when you come into the place of the courts and all that stuff, you step in and you get clothed with robes of righteousness. You don't try and wash yourself clean so that you can step in there, which is what generally we've been taught to do. Because we're just like, oh, you can't go to God because you'll be all fear. Now, the reality is we're supposed to step in there and he will deal with our hearts in there. Because if we try and deal with them here, we're dealing from our earthly level of understanding. It's so different there. We will get a reaffirmation of our identity as sons. God will always want us to know who we are. And there's a realignment of the kingdom. So the will of God and the purpose of God for my life, I need to align myself with it. So when I go there, I come back out, I'm realigned. So I then can act and follow that stuff on. We need to reclaim the ground of the supernatural. Many biblical experiences are hijacked and put off limits to the general Christian church because of the New Age. And we must not be fearful of this New Age stuff. We have the true manifestation of those encounters and experiences. So, you know, we should be going to New Age fairs and New Age things and demonstrating the truth. It's like, and we should be challenged. It's like we need to challenge the prophets of Baal that are operating in our generations and call down the fire and challenge them. Yeah, and do the stuff. So I'm going to try not to go down rabbit trails on this one because I imagine you want lunch. So meditation, visions, trances, translation, trans-relocation, all that stuff, astral projection, all the stuff which is negative. Actually, there's always the positive. There's the real. Because we're supposed to go to heaven. And you can read it in the Bible. But didn't God pull Ezekiel up by a lock of his hair and transport him and show him something in Jerusalem while he was sat with the elders? When I read that sort of stuff, I think, what did they think? Did he still appear if he was there? His body was there? Did he just go and weird and whatever? God just took him out. So there's a lot of these experiences are there. Quantum mystics are hijacking scientific discoveries to form a new age physics, pantheism. The difference between true revelation and what they're trying to do is the whole thing about it actually points to a personal God that we can know, or God being everything and us being everything and us being God. Now, we are like God and we're supposed to be like him, but we aren't him. So that is the test when you see, because a lot of the stuff you will hear if you start looking at, particularly into the whole quantum stuff, you'll see that a lot of New Age people or a lot of scientists are following a New Age pattern because the church has given them no reality. So they're trying to see how this fits in the world, and the Eastern type things offer them something that seems to fit. But it's pantheistic rather than monotheistic. And that is the difference. And you'll be able to pick it out. You'll see it. You'll be able to discern it. But we need to see. We shouldn't be frightened. God is giving this revelation. We need to take hold of it. And we need to embrace it. And there are some great books. One's called Quantum Glory by Phil Mason. If you want to understand the whole thing of quantum theory, that is the best book to read. Fantastic book. Right. Okay. Now we've got this picture of spirit, soul, body, and the presence of God. And we need to learn to engage the presence of God in us through the realms of our spirit. So it's like our spirit has got senses, just like our body's got senses, 5 body senses. Our soul has got senses. They're seen as gates. Now, if you look in the Bible about gates, gates were places of transaction, places where authority sat. Whoever sits in the gate controls what goes in and out. So we do not want demonic spirits sat in the gates of our soul. They cannot sit in the gates of our spirit, by the way. Only in our soul. But they can block the gates of our spirit flowing anywhere else if they control the soul gates. Because basically the spirit has to work through the soul to engage the body. Your spirit cannot engage your body separate from your soul because we're one. That's how it's supposed to work. But it become all separated and messed up, obviously. We need to put it back in the right order. So we're going to practice and train our senses. Always start by faith. God will always respond to faith. So if you say, I can't see anything, I can't hear anything, I can't sense anything. Okay, start by faith. I don't care whether I can see, hear, sense. I'm going to do it anyway. Now, 90% of the things I do now, every day, I do by faith. Because I haven't got time to sort of go through an experience of having a vision when I need to be driving down the road. You know, so I can do things while I'm driving by faith. So I can still be engaged in heaven. I can still hear, feel everything else, but I'm here, but there. And I do it by faith. So by faith, I step into your presence. Now I try and do it with my eyes open. It's not very good with your eyes closed when you're driving, but you know, but usually when I'm on my own, I can do it with my eyes closed or whatever, but it's like, I step in. And I know, because I now can engage, how to do it. But you can do it by faith. Always start there if you can't do it any other way. So if you can't see anything, doesn't matter anyway. I'm going to step in. So that's where it's a place to start. Develop the use of the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is one of the key elements to creating a positioning yourself for encounters. Because when you speak in tongues, you effectively are allowing your spirit to grow, to be enabled, to be more sensitive, to tune in. And pray in tongues out loud, pray in tongues on the inside. I've learned how to pray in tongues. I've got probably 6 or 7 different prayer languages for different occasions. Get war tongues, love tongues. I sing in a different tongue because that's what it's like. So, you know, I only had 1 or 2 words when I first started. And even those words were sort of pretty suspect, I think. You know, almost like, are they real? But I persevered. Now, quite a lot of people give up at that point. That's too hard. But it's like, no, I sought for three years to get that experience. I wasn't going to give up on 2 words. It's like, I was going to get more. But any language, you want to speak it, you got to speak it. Practice it. I speak in tongues all the time. Inside, I'm speaking in tongues now while I'm speaking to you. Because I've trained myself to do it. So to start with, I trained myself to speak out loud in tongues, and then I would read the Word of God while I was speaking out loud in tongues. So I was doing 2 things at once. Because then the Word, through the tongues, was coming revelation. Then I did the opposite. I started reading the Word of God out loud and praying in tongues in my mind. Now I struggled with that a little bit to start with, but then I sort of overcome it. Because I can pray in tongues in your mind, but doing it while you're doing something else, you have to train yourself. Then I actually thought, well, actually, I don't want it in my mind. It's supposed to come from my spirit, my innermost being. So actually, I need to be having tongues operating not in my mind, but from my spirit, like it's bubbling up from the inside of me. So then I trained myself that I could be flowing in that on the inside without it ever coming across my mind, but knowing I'm doing it. Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. knowing what I'm praying, although sometimes you can pray in tongues in English, because English is a language, same like any other language, that you can actually know what you're praying in tongues. Because a lot of times when you start praying, you don't think what you're going to pray, do you? You just start to flow in prayer. Well, why wouldn't that be your spirit praying, which is a tongue? Different way of looking at it. But go for that. It's, I think, the number one thing that helped me was developing that. Because doesn't it say somewhere, Jesus said, my Father's house is a house of prayer? Okay. Well, actually, I'm a house of God. So I can develop a house of prayer. And when I develop a house of prayer, guess who turns up? God. He loves it. He loves. So I'm developing an atmosphere around me that the angels like. Everything, the spiritual kingdom loves it. The enemy hates it. So he doesn't want us to do it. So I'd encourage you, pray in tongues as much as you possibly can. Activate your imagination. So use those natural things if you struggle to see things. Close your eyes right now and imagine your front door. Can you see it? So you can use your imagination. You got one. Everyone's got one. You can use it. Same thing as then, okay, Jesus was sat around, he was talking to his disciples. Well, I'm going to sit and I'm going to see him talking to his disciples and I'm going to listen to what he's saying. I've done that lots of times and ended up in the conversation because I pictured myself there. It's nothing wrong. Your imagination is God-given. He uses it to give you visions and dreams. So you can use it. It's yours. So use it. Use those biblical images as a gateway to it. Now, positioning yourself for encounter, you need to know that you are a habitation of God and that you have an open heaven over you. This scripture from Genesis 28, this whole thing of Jacob and things. He had a dream and behold, a ladder was set on the earth. So it started on the earth and its top reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. And you can see it as angels or you could see it as spirit beings. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord. So in every encounter, you want to encounter the Lord. Because he's there, welcoming you in. Genesis 28:16. Surely the Lord is in this place. Now, this was a physical place called Bethel. But think of it now as you are the place where the presence of God is. You are now the house of God. It says, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. So you are a house of God and you're a gate of heaven. So when Jesus came along, he said, actually, you're going to see the angels ascending and descending over the Son of Man because it's open over me. Same thing. He had that relationship, which is an access of heaven. So we need to get hold of this and really get this in your spirit. You are a house of God. He dwells in you. And because he dwells in you, you are connected to the realm of heaven. Also says the kingdom of God is within you in this way. But you're a gateway of heaven. That means you can access heaven and heaven can access earth through you, which is what it's supposed to do. Now in John 14, and this scripture has been for me totally misinterpreted. Verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, this isn't talking about loads of dwelling places in heaven. It's talking about, actually, the Father's house, which is also can be described as the temple of God, the church of God, loads of different descriptions, me as a house of dwelling, are many dwelling places. Now, then it goes and says, for I go to prepare you to be a dwelling place. This is my retranslation of this. He's not going to prepare a place for us in heaven so we can go there. He's going to prepare us to be a place where he dwells. So he went to the cross and he came back from the cross so that we could be a dwelling of God. He didn't go into heaven. Someday he will come back so we can go into heaven. Because it always puts it off into another time and place. This is now. If I go and prepare you to be a dwelling place, I will come again and receive you to myself. Now that isn't when he's coming in his second coming. Because he did go to the cross and he came back in the resurrection. And then he received us so we could have the same relationship with God that he did. Because it says that where I am, you may be also. Okay? Now, where I am was not talking about heaven, because he explains where I am was, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So he was describing the relationship they were going to have with the Holy Spirit and with him being in them so that the Father could do his works through them. So he's prepared us to be a dwelling place, God, and a gate of heaven. And it goes on, rest of the chapter, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So we are now a home, a dwelling place, a house of God. He's in us. And I mean he's in us. Really is in us. And I think this is part of the problem. We don't really believe that. We really need to believe it, because that's where we can engage him on the inside of us. So if you can't get into the heavenly realms, you can still engage him on the inside. And once you've engaged him there, the pathway to the heavenly realms is so much easier. Because it's where he's come from and where he'll want you to be. So you are a house, a dwelling, a habitation of God, literally an embassy of heaven on earth. Now think of yourself as an embassy. I am here as an embassy. Yes, I'm an ambassador, but I'm also an embassy. Because there's more than one who are in me, one in represent earth from heaven. So yes, I'm a gateway of heaven and an ambassador who brings heaven to earth, but there's a whole lot more around this whole relationship of being in Father, Father in me, in Jesus, him in me, that we need to get hold of. We'll do it by actually recognizing that we are a habitation of God's presence and engaging with him. Okay, let's look at a little bit more of this. Your eternal destiny is to rule. Okay, it's plan A. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. That is never changed. It's always been that way. That is God's desire, that we represent him, bringing his kingdom to the earth. You see, when Eden and the garden were in connection, there was a flow of life from heaven to earth. God walked in the garden with them. There was a relationship. Once that closed, then how that got outworked obviously got blocked. But Jesus has come to restore it. So we need to administer the will of God, his kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we're a chosen race and a royal priesthood. Because we have access to the holy things of God. Royal means we rule. We're a king, a lord, all that stuff. So you have a kingly and priestly identity that enables you to access those dual realms. Just like a restoration of what it was for Adam, it needs to be to us. So you are an ambassador and a channel, and it is your destiny to rule through this relationship that we have with God as his sons. And that means it's the church's destiny to rule. I do not believe that the church is going to fail. I believe it's going to be victorious, and Jesus is going to come back with a church without spot and wrinkle or blemish. So we're going to accomplish the task, whether it's in my generation or a generation to come, we will accomplish the task. Now, I want it to be in my generation. So we need to get our act together, you know, and stop doing what we've always done, because we'll always get what we always got, which is not very good, because we've not transformed the world. But we need to, and therefore we need to see it's our destiny to rule. Isaiah 2:2, the mountain of the house of the Lord, raised above all the other mountains, symbol of authority and power. All the other things it says will come to the mountain of the house of the Lord, because all the world will have no answers. And literally, I believe that the things that are coming and the shaking of the world systems that are to come, the world will fall apart with no answers, and they will look to those who have the answers, who are living heaven to earth. So when everyone else cannot cope with sickness and diseases and things, plagues and all the stuff that might happen, we can, because we live in health. When the financial system of the world is completely fallen apart, we still have finances, because we can produce money out of a fish's mouth. Yeah, not just a coin, a big roll of notes. You know? It's like, because we have the same abilities that Jesus had. We need to operate in it. So the church is the embassy of heaven on earth. We operate under a higher kingdom authority and power. The realm of heaven has higher laws. We need to understand that it's higher laws we operate under. Okay. So our destiny throws through a strong spirit. We need our spirit to grow. We need to mature. Our destiny is blocked by a dominant soul. So we need to deal with that domination of the soul. So the soul must be restored and be refined to bring the order spirit, soul, body, not body, soul, spirit. Spirit first. We are a spirit being. That comes first. That actually envelops the soul and directs it, which envelops the body and directs it. We just need to get it back. So our destiny is to be manifested on the earth and beyond as sons of light. When Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, the same word transfigured, which is metamorphosis, is the same word for transformed in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Same word. So we will be renewed by our mind, but we will also be renewed in our body so that we will represent light and shine with light. Jesus didn't do that as a party trick. If he did it, it was because he wanted to show that we should be able to do it as well. Because those are some of the greater works. We just need to sort of press into it. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Meditate on that scripture and it will blow you away when you start really looking at what that means. Okay, when we start, we haven't got our spirit flowing. It's dead. It's not connected. And we all start off in that way. We have a body, soul, spirit. The body is to enable us to relate to the world we're in. Soul enables us to relate to ourselves. Spirit enables us to relate to God. But we start out all messed up. All of us started out in a messed up state, separated, spiritually dead. In the beginning, Adam was spirit, soul, and body in perfect harmony, joined with God. Adam did not have a body like we've got. That came after the fall. Adam was a creature of light. He was a spirit being of light. So everything changed. I haven't got time to go down that thing now. So what happens is, when we get born again, literally, that separation from our spirit, God comes and lives in us. So the presence and the glory of God comes to live in us. We become a habitation of God. So we need that revelation. If we're going to have heavenly encounters, we need that revelation. We need the authority that that brings to be able to engage. That we are a dwelling place of God's presence. That we are connected to heaven through God who's in us. That we have a flow of abundant life flowing like a river from the spiritual realm into the natural realm through us as a gate. That river needs to flow to the world. It's not for us. It's great. But we're a channel for God to do his work on earth. So we need to let him do it. God's will needs to operate and manifest through us and around us to the world in which we live. Otherwise, there's no point. Now, what's the point of a relationship with God if it doesn't change the world in which we live or change us? We need to flow. So God wants everything to flow. That revelation, all the resources, everything flows from heaven to earth through our lives. We need to engage it. Now we read scriptures like, you know, John 4, I will give him become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him into, from, and for eternal life, which is the Amplified Version. Actually, that's what the Spirit is in us. It's not there just to give us spiritual gifts. You know, there's so much more to the personality of the Holy Spirit that we need to engage with. You know, same rivers of living water, John 3:38. You know all these scriptures. Now Colossians 1 talks about, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rules, authorities. All things have been created for him, by him, for him. The reality is everything that's been created, whether the enemy's got hold of it right now or not, actually was created for us in Christ. So every authority, see, principalities and powers and that stuff are not inherently wrong. They're just occupied by darkness. That realm is in darkness. It's not of darkness. It's not the kingdom of darkness. It's a kingdom at the moment that's in darkness. So we have to bring light to it. So we need to understand that he is before all those things and he holds it all together. from that spiritual realm into this natural one. So the spiritual or heavenly realm has authority and higher power over the natural realm. So we need to exercise that. Spiritual laws or principles supersede natural laws or principles. Jesus couldn't turn water into wine unless a higher law was in place, which means that in the spiritual realm, there is authority to change matter, to change things. I'm going to only say that because otherwise I really could get on a whole good one. So healing is where it overrules sickness and disease. Deliverance overrules captivity and bondage. Jesus is our example of heaven ruling earth through his life. Hence, we're supposed to be like him, so heaven needs to rule earth through our lives. Now, I know that's just the baby stuff, but it's all the stuff we'd love to do. But actually, there's so much more beyond that in terms of administering heaven. That's just the stuff we should all just do as just being sons of God. But we aren't even doing that stuff, mostly. So we've got to learn. But we learn by realizing that it's heaven to earth that enables us to do that. A lot of us operate in gifts. The gift of healing. Or the gift of faith. Now that's great. And it's great that the Holy Spirit will give us those gifts. But actually, that is for immature things. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's giving it. When he wills. And therefore we're very reliant on that. But actually God wants us to be so that we are bringing his will from heaven to earth. In a totally different realm of authority and power, so that we can change and transform things. Literally change and transform things. Ultimately, we've got to change this whole world. It's got to be terraformed back into its original condition, which will be really fun. Now, miracles are where the spiritual realm overrules the physical laws of this realm. Yeah, and we need to be able to see much more of that. When Jesus walked on water, how did he do it? He applied the realms of the spiritual realm to this realm. Therefore, he could walk on water. I haven't got time to tell you how he did it, but I do know, because he told me. But all those things, he passed through people. He disappeared from people's natural sight. How could he do that? Because he was able to go into the realm of the spirit, come back out, physically. Because that's what it said. He passed through them. It didn't mean he walked around them. They trying to throw him off a cliff. He passed through them. So he was able to step into a different realm, out of phase with this realm, go through them and come back into phase. Now, it's perfectly scientifically possible. And I could prove to you how it's scientifically possible. Jesus knew the laws of the spirit realm. So he was able to access them and do them. We just have to go there and start learning the same things. Jesus controlled the weather, healed the sick, cast the demons, all those things. He made things appear. Because he understood how to operate from the realm of heaven. We need to understand the same things. How did Jesus do those things? He did them as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit in an intimate relationship with his Father who was in him. He didn't do them as God. He was fully God, he was fully man. But he did them as man. If he did them as God, we have no chance, do we? But he said, we will do the things that he did, so we have to do them the same way as he did them. But we can, because he's in us and we're in him. So we can do it. You know, John 3:13, where he says that I am the Son of Man who is in heaven, speaking to Nicodemus, and he's in heaven at the same time. That's what we have to get to, where we're living in heaven and living on the earth in the same time. That's what God wants, because he could see what the Father was doing. Now, if we all could see what the Father was doing, we would all be able to do what the Father's doing. Most of us don't see it because we're not living in the realm where we can see it. So we get glimpses of it occasionally, and when we're in meetings and the power of God's there and the Holy Spirit's there, because we've created an atmosphere, we do it. But actually, we should be able to do it out on the street, in Tesco's, anywhere, because we create our own atmosphere, and we bring heaven out of earth as a gateway, wherever we are. Now, I know some of you think, oh, it's all really impossible, isn't it? Actually, look at the last few years and see the acceleration of what God is doing. Yeah. It is going to accelerate at a greater level so that these things are going to be normal. Heavenly realm encounters and living in the dual realms of heaven and earth in years to come will be no different than what people were talking about in baptism of the Holy Spirit 25 years ago. It was like, whoa, that's really good. Now it's not even a controversy for most people, is it? Because actually now we've learned to engage. You know, we will learn to be doing this, and we will be doing this, and it will be just, and then we'll be on to something else. Even greater. And it's like the greater works, I love to think about what the greater works are. It's like, I love it. I just meditate on it. And God shows me some stuff, and it's just like, wow. You know, and it's like, but we need to learn to do this stuff first. So everything we've learned up till now, sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, has come from the outside in. That is our problem. That is how we've learned to do it. So we expect everything to come from the outside in. But the reality is, we have to get it from the inside out. So we learn to engage the natural world from the outside in. We learn to engage the spiritual world from the inside out. And we have to learn to interpret those things. That's how it works. We learn to interpret spatial awareness. See, I'm looking at you right now. You're not actually there, are you? You're on an image upside down on the retina in the back of my eye. And my brain interprets that you're sitting there from that image because it's learned how to do it. We learn to do the same things in the realm of the spirit. Because we practice that every day of our lives, we learned. If we practice the things of the realm of the spirit, we will also learn and be able to do it just as naturally. And when you learn to do that, you can see the realm of what's going on in the room. You can see into people's hearts. You can see all sorts of things that Jesus did because he could see with the eyes of his spirit, not just with the natural eyes. So we have to learn. Everything's interpreted that way, and we can then do the same thing. Well, whip through that. Okay. So the idea is everything needs to come out of God in us through our spirit, soul, and body. And it is practice. We have to learn to tune into the voice of God on the inside. Listen to him. Hear his voice. Learn to hear from the inside. See from the inside. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you do it all the time. You're doing this all the time. Every time you say, well, I believe God said this to me. Well, did he actually stand in front of you and speak to you face to face? No, probably not. If he did, great. But most of the time, you hear his voice. You get that perception and understanding that he's speaking to you, wanting you to understand something. Same thing coming to see. We need to feel from the inside. Those intuitive gut instincts come from the Holy Spirit. They come from God. We need to tune into them. Because often we dismiss them. Those little thoughts, little feelings, little impressions. We just dismiss them because we're so caught up with what we can see, feel, and taste and touch in our natural senses. We've just not learned to tune in and see that the spiritual ones are more important and overrule the natural ones. So we can be guided from the inside. We can smell from the inside. How many of you have smelt a fragrance in a room of an angel, the presence of God? Quite a number of you. How many of you are in a room that you smelt it and some of people didn't? Yeah. So you learn to spiritually smell something that they couldn't. Because if it was a natural smell, everyone would have smelt it. And sometimes it becomes that, but a lot of times you are learning to smell because your spirit is smelling the presence of God and the angelic, not your nose. But you interpret it through your nose as a smell. But literally it's a fragrance of the presence. It's just a heavenly thing that we interpret with a physical sense. So we say we're smelling something, but it isn't really particles of things that are in the air. It's in the spirit that you're smelling. So we can learn to do it. Same thing, we learn to touch from the inside out. When we touch people and pray for them, why does our hand vibrate or get hot? Because stuff is coming from the inside out, touching people. So I mean, everything flows from the inside out. We just have to learn to engage it and do more of it. And there's a lot more in it that we can do it. We train that from our relationship with God. God knows everything. He's all powerful and he's all present. And he's in me. Wow, I'm connected to everything. Think of that. Everything in this universe, I'm connected to through him who's in me. That gives me a big advantage over things if I'm learning to connect. I get a heads up on every situation. Because, of course, he's connected to me, and he's before time, outside of time. So, therefore, everything that's going to happen has already happened to him, and I can be connected to him so he can tell me, which is what prophecy is. But there's just so much more that we can learn to connect to from that when we get that understanding that these realms don't operate in the same space-time. I can't go into that now. That's a big subject. But it comes as a spontaneous flow. That's how it comes, a spontaneous flow. And often those spontaneous flow goes past our mind, and we don't grab them. We need to learn to get that flow, interpret it, because it's like the thoughts of God dance in our mind. Albert Einstein, probably one of the greatest scientists, actually, when he discovered the theory of relativity, he was not sat at a board writing things. He basically was lying in a meadow, and he said, it was like the thoughts of God danced in my mind, and the whole theory came to him by revelation. He says a lot of really interesting statements about God and intuition being much more powerful than reason. Very interesting guy. The feelings of God move our emotions. It's like Jesus felt compassion. Literally that word, the Greek word, meant he was moved in his guts. It was like, ugh, to move. We need to have the feelings of God that move us. The impressions of God motivate our wills. They move us to act when we get those impressions. The visions and pictures are forming our imagination. So we need to activate all these spiritual senses to go alongside of the other ones we've got, so that everything starts to flow out. Now, do you want me to stop there? Let me do a few slides, just this, because it's just showing you what these senses are, then we'll break. Fear of God is a spiritual sense. That awestruck, it's just awesome. It's like the fear of God is not fear, but it really is fear. It's knowing the awesomeness of God that we're connected to. Reverence. I spent a lot of time meditating on what these things were for me. And I'd encourage you, meditate yourself to how they work with you. But for me, reverence was about honor and respect, doing nothing that will bring disrepute to God. It really activates my conscience, reverence. When reverence is flowing, my conscience really keeps me out of trouble and really makes it sharp. Prayer. It's not us getting on our knees and putting our hands together. It's two-way communication. That channel opens two-way communication with God. We hear, we speak, and we're communicating. Hope, where visions and dreams, seeing those opportunities in the Spirit come from, through that gate. Faith. When we come into agreement with what we see in God, faith activates through that gate. Revelation, inspiration, light, counsel, wisdom, all those things flow. Intuition, knowledge, gut knowledge, feelings, instinct all start to flow. And there's a heavenly sense that we have that opens up our spiritual awareness in the realms of heaven. Now, the key to it all is worship. Worship is not singing nice songs to God. Worship is bowing down in obedience, saying, you are Lord, I surrender. So all those senses work towards, am I going to bow down in surrender to God? Because you can have as much faith, hope, revelation, intuition as you like. If you don't obedient and do it, waste of time. We can have wonderful visions, pictures, dreams, God telling us. If we don't do it, what's the point? Obedience, worship is the key. It's our total submission to God's will for our lives as revealed through His Spirit in us through those senses. Then all those things then begin to flow through fellowship, relationship, through revelation, the relation things, to our soul gates. And once they start to activate our soul gates, then our soul picks up and then it starts to challenge the things that are in our soul which would block or understand those things that are said. So our soul gates, very quickly, our conscience, the ears of our heart, reason, the voice of our heart. Our conscience is there to protect and direct us, to guard and to guide us. It's not just negative, it's very positive as well, because we get that, you need to do that, as well as don't do that. Our reason is a translator or interpreter to explain and understand the thoughts of God. It's not us trying to understand in our intellect. Reason is not intellect. It's where the thoughts of God gets translated. The eyes of our heart, our imagination. It's like a receiver of revelation, pictures, but also a transmitter. We can project things in our imagination. We can receive it as a screen of our imagination. Our subconscious mind, our heart, the storage programs. That's where like the hard drive of our life. Everything is stored there. We actually think in our heart more than we do in our mind. And they've proved this. They've measured the electrical activity that comes from the heart 6 times more than the electrical activity that comes from the brain. So there's a lot more, because what does the Bible say? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the thinking, all the records are stored in the heart. They get triggered by our experiences to come into the conscious mind where our brain connects with them. Our emotions, our responses, our feelings, where our guts are moved. A will, where persistence and courage is, boldness and endurance to enable us to perform the heart of God and the will of God. So those really what our soul gates are. The key again is the number one, choice. Because we can have all those things activated, and if we choose not to be obedient, waste of time. So everything, all our spirit can move us, we hear God, get to that point, and we say, oh no, sorry, I'm afraid. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. And everything goes into choice. That's why the enemy works in the mind, because the mind is where the choices are made. You make your decision when that choice is given to you. So, you know, do we do what Jesus would do? You know, people wear the little wristband, but the reality is, are we going to do what Jesus does? And it's the choice that we have as free will every day that actually counts. And whether we surrender that choice and worship God by being obedient, or whether we do things our own way. And of course, the enemy wants us to do it our own way. Because even if we do good things, they're not necessarily God things. And there's a lot of choices that we have to understand. So, okay, let's finish there. All right. Okay. I know I'm giving you loads and loads of information because I'm only here today, but you've got the rest of your lives to go and look at it and take it and do something else with it. You know, so I know you're not going to contain everything, and don't even try. Just get the stuff that grabs your spirit and then go back and look at it again. That's the stuff that God wants me to look at, because 99% of it may be irrelevant to you. But the 1%, go with that. You know, I won't be offended. Just go with the stuff that God actually wants you to get hold of.